Okay, so we're moving on to a new parak of Tehillim. The parak that we're doing today is parak Chaf Gimel, and it's famous. It's Mizmor David Hashem Roi Lo Echzar. So I'm sure we're all familiar with the tune, and it's sung typically Shal Shudis. After the shir, I'll tell you the source for that. But it's usually sung on Shal Shudis. It's very famous Tehillim. Tamar, my wife, told me that it's also said at funerals, but I'm unaware of that, but she said it's very commonly said at funerals. So today we're going to tackle that two psukim in this Tehillim, where we're just going to go into the ideas of the Tehillim as usual, and we're going to go through the Rishonim. So we're going to start, obviously, with Perek Aleph, and Miriam Klar is going to start off the reading. It's source number one.
Mizmor David, Hashem Roi Lo Echzar.
Okay, so translation.
So Mizmor David, like a song or
a song for David.
For David, Hashem Roi, Hashem my
shepherd.
Shepherd, Lo Echzar, I will not leave.
Okay, so the Lord is my shepherd. Sounds like an evangelical statement, but what does this mean? Obviously, that's the immediate question that arises: is why are we referencing God as our shepherd? You know, but before we do that, we have to do the Rashi on the pasuk, and we have to follow the track of the Rishonim. So, Alana, you want to read the Rashi?
Sure.
Thank you.
Mizmor David, Amar Rabotino, Koma Kom Shenemar, Mizmor David, Minagain, Ve'achar Kein Shira Alav. Shore alav shchina mizmor lahavi ruach hakodesh leDavid v'chol shenemar bo leDavid mizmor sharta alav shchina v'achar kein amar shira.
Okay, so Rashi is saying that there's a chazal, and the chazal say that whenever it says mizmor leDavid, so it means that there was some music played first, and then David received divine presence or ruach hakodesh. And after that, he composed the Tehillim. And whenever it says L'David Mizmor, which is said in certain Tehillim, so it's the opposite. David received the Shechina first, and then he composed the Shira, the Tehillim. So what is the question on this? The question on, there's two questions, I think. One question is, why do you need music? What's music doing here in terms of bringing about the Shechina? Right? It's a good question. And the second question is, what's the difference between Mizmor LeDavid and LeDavid Mizmor? Why is it that certain Tehillim demanded music first and other Tehillim did not demand music first? So before we answer those questions, there's an interesting Gemara, which is the Chazal that Rashi is quoting, which I think we have to do inside, which also teaches us ideas about, not just about Tehillim, but about other areas, that we can apply this concept to other areas. So I'm going to read the Gemara. So the Gemara is source number three. It's Gemara Psachim, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, I started in the middle of a Gemara. The beginning part of the Gemara is also about Tehillim, but I wanted to take out the relevant parts for us. So it says, L'David Mizmor, L'milameh Chisharsa Olav Shechina V'achakach Amar Shira. So whenever it says L'David Mizmor, it's the same as Rashi. It means that first the Shechina was Shoreh, the Shechina, the presence of God, rested upon David, and then afterwards he said the Tehillim, the Shira. And if you look at the Rashbam in number 4, he just explains the Pshat. He says, L'David Mizmor, Mash Matchila Haya L'David Ruach HaKodesh. So at first there was Ruach HaKodesh for David, the Achar Kach, and afterwards was the Mizmor, the Shira. Okay? Mizmor L'David. So whenever it says Mizmor LeDavid, Melamed, it teaches us She'amar Shira V'achar Kach Sharsa Olav Shechina. So it says that first the Shira was said, and then afterwards the Shechina, the presence of Hashem, was what fell on David. So if you look at the Rashbam, the second part of the Rashbam, it says Mizmor LeDavid, Mashma Mitocha Mizmor Ba'a Shechina LeDavid. So it's Mashma that through the song came about the Shechina, the Ruach HaKodesh, to David. Okay, fine. So we still have our questions, but the Gemara goes on. So the Gemara makes a big generalization and a big principle, and it says, L'lamedcha, it comes to teach you, She'ena shechina shore, that the divine presence only falls, lo mitoch atzvos, it doesn't fall from laziness, the lo mitoch atzvos, and not from depression, the lo mitoch schok, and not from laughter, the lo mitoch kalas rosh, and it doesn't fall upon a person through lightheadedness, the lo mitoch dvarim b'talim, and not through nonsensical words, Ela mitoch dvar simcha shel mitzvah. So the Shechina, divine, I guess, prophecy, or Ruach HaKodesh, only falls upon a person from simcha shel mitzvah. Shenemar, like it says in the Pasuk, and this Pasuk is a reference to Elisha, it says, Ve'ata, and now, kechuli menagin, take for me a person who plays music, Ve'haya, kenagin ha-menagin, so when the person who played music played the music, Vatihi alav Yad Hashem. So the Yad Hashem, the divine prophecy, fell upon Elisha. So you learn from there that prior to getting prophecy, there was some type of musical accompaniment before prophecy, and then the prophet received prophecy. And this actually is brought down in Halacha. The Rambam brings it down in Hilchos Yisurei Torah, the same exact idea, that the Nevi'im would play music, and they would be alone, and then they would receive the prophecy from Hashem. So the same questions, we have the same questions, which is, why is this necessary to receive prophecy? And also, furthermore, what's the difference between Mizmor and David? If it's really necessary, then why is it that sometimes it says L'David Mizmor and other times it says Mizmor L'David? Okay? But the Gemara goes on with an interesting comment based on this. So it says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. So Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, V'chein L'dvar Halacha. So too for Halacha. And the Gemara is going to explain what that means. Okay, and then it says, Amar Rav Nachman, V'chein L'chalom Tov. And Rav Nachman said, also for a good dream. So if you look at the last, or the second to last Rashbam, in number 4, it says, V'chein L'chalom, Im Holech Lishan, Mitoch Simcha, Roe Chalom Tov. So if you go to sleep out of happiness, you're going to see a good dream. Okay, Aini, is this so? So the Gemara is not asking on the dream part, but it's asking on the L'dvar Halacha, the teaching part, or the Halacha part. V'ha Amar Rav Gidel Amar Rav. So didn't Rav Gidel say in the name of Rav, Kol Talmud Chacham Hayoshev Lefnei Rabo V'ein Sif Sosa of Notvos Mar Techvena? So doesn't Rav Gidel say that any Talmud Chacham who's sitting before his Rebbe and his lips aren't quivering with dread, so they will be burnt? Like it says in the Pasuk, in Shir HaShirim, Sif Sosa of Shoshanim Notvos Mar Over. So the pshat is that the lips are like lilies which flow with myrrh, but al tikre shoshanim, it shouldn't be read shoshanim, ela shishunim, those who learn. Not lilies, but those who learn. Al tikre, moreover, it shouldn't be read as flowing with lip flowing myrrh, ela mar over, but flowing with dread. So basically, the kashi is that a Talmud, before his Rebbe, he's not supposed to be happy, he's supposed to have a certain fear and a certain aim of the Rebbe, and it's supposed to be serious. So lo kashi, so the Gemara says it's not a kashi. Ha baraba. So one's talking about the Rebbe, Habit Talmida. So what is the answer? The answer is that the Rebbe is supposed to be in a state of simcha, but the Talmud is supposed to be in a state of dread and anxiety. They're not supposed to be in a state of levity, of simcha. Okay. V'ibayisema, and some want to say, Hava Habarabba. So both statements are made referencing the Rebbe. V'lo kasha, and it's not a kasha. Ha mekame de pasach, so one's before you start. The halavasar de pasach, and the second is after you start. So what does this mean? So kihad de rabba mekame de pasach lehu de rabbanon. So before rabba would give shir, before the rabbanon, amar milsa de b'dichusa. So he would say a joke. Uvadchu rabbanon, and the rabbanon would laugh. Vilavasof, and after he told the joke, and the rabbanon would laugh, yasiv be'emsa, everybody would sit in fear and seriousness. Upasach b'shmaisa, and then he would. And then he would start his shir. So obviously the Gemara is saying that there's this universal principle that you're supposed to start with a simcha shel mitzvah before you get nevuah, before you get a chalom tov, and before a Rebbe gives shir. And the example that the Gemara is saying is that the Rebbe is supposed to tell a joke before he gives shir, and then once the shir starts, there's supposed to be a certain seriousness in the shir. Which puts a lot of pressure on me, by the way. So next week, I'm going to have to come up with a really good joke, or I'm going to have to sing for you guys. So
rabbis start their drasha with a joke?
Yes, yes. Actually, the truth is that Rabbi Chait always used to, you know, joke around with the guys a little bit before, and even when you're learning with the chavrusa, I think it's important to, like, talk to the guy before, just joke around with the guy before. But what's the idea? What's the main idea?
Problem of the Lomitok folk.
What'd you say?
Halit Rosh, aren't jokes a problem?
Well, if you look at Rashi, it's a good question. If you look at Rashi, it says Simcha Shel Mitzvah. So he says, Ki hach de kuli minagim. Sorry, the Rashbam in number 4. So he says, Simcha shel mitzvah, ki hach de kuli minagim shahaya miskavein shetishra alav shechina. So that wasn't really. What? So they took the music was played for the purpose of receiving the prophecy. So I would say that as long as your goal, as long as you're not spending that time just getting, well, we have to explain the idea. But it seems like Simcha Shel Mitzvah, it doesn't have to be that the actual Simcha itself is Mitzvah, but it has to be for the purpose of Mitzvah. That the Simcha is supposed to...
I think still, Minagin is much more par than a joke. I mean, a joke is hook. It's, you know...
Okay,
I'm saying as long as it's for the purpose, it's not necessarily that way. Okay.
Yeah, I think the idea from the Rashbam is he's showing you that if the purpose is for like the purpose of the Menagin was Shetishra Lev Shechina, so if the Rebbe's telling a joke, but the purpose isn't to get too engaged in the joke, but really to start the shir, so I think that's defined as Simcha Shel Mitzvah. But you see from the Rashbam that it doesn't mean actual mitzvah, but it means for the right purpose. But what's the main idea? Why is it important? Or what's the idea of starting with a joke or that the Navi needed music beforehand? So anybody want to try a possibility here? What would be the idea? So we said
we have a similar thing just with Yitzhak where he said he can't have a bracha until he has because there's something about being happiness and
the
nevuah that are tied.
All right, good. Yeah, so good. So what's that idea? What's the idea? I just want to define it. Or what's the main idea of the simcha that's necessary? So it would seem to me, just trying an approach, it would seem to me that music is very powerful in terms of the emotions. Like we said in past shiurim, that the reason why Tehillim was composed for a song or to be sung in the mikdash was partially because singing evokes certain emotions and it draws a person's emotions towards the good or towards ideas about God. But a lot of times when a person listens to music, it could relax them and it could take away or it could subdue certain emotions that are preventing a person from thinking clearly. So maybe the idea is that music or a joke as a precursor to learning or to ideas or to knowledge, which prophecy is not just a... Prophecy is an aspect of knowledge. A person has to be on a high level or in a high intellectual state in order to receive prophecy. So maybe the idea is that before a person achieves a higher intellectual state, the person's emotions have to be drawn away from other areas and drawn towards the right areas. So a lot of times music or a joke are vehicles in which a person's emotions can be drawn away from the outside world and drawn towards the right ideas. But I think the main idea is that by doing so, a person can think more clearly. A chavrusa, if a chavrusa is going to function better and the person's mind or the people's minds are going to be clearer, if before the chavrusa they can take their minds out of the things that they were involved in before their learning and transfer them and transform them into the chavrusa and really put them into the right areas. You see this. What?
Any kind of music?
So that's a good point. I would say that heavy metal is probably not the best music to listen to before you're getting nevuah or before you're learning, because a lot of times music doesn't produce that. A lot of times music takes you away from the right objective. So that's why I think it says Simcha Shel Mitzvah. So a person has to pick the right music, the music that puts them in that state where they can have a certain clarity, and then take that and use it for the right or for the good. You see this example with massages. So Tamar, who gets many massages, tells me that in order to set the mood, in order to relax the person, they put on music. So the music is meant to clear the person's mind and to take the person's energies away from things that are stressing them out. But the purpose of a massage is simply to be relaxed. Here, we're taking those emotions away from the areas that are distressing, and we're trying to engage them and transform them and put them into the right areas, into learning. So I think that could be the main idea of why it was necessary for Nevi'im to be alone and to hear music before they got engaged in Nevuah. They had to be in a clear state of mind. In fact, the Rambam, he talks about many cases where Nevi'im couldn't get Nevuah because they're in a state of an emotional state that was very strong, like Eliyahu. There was a period of time where Eliyahu he had an anger management issue, and because of his anger, his extreme anger, he was unable to get nevuah. They say by Yaakov, for example, he was very depressed when Yosef was taken, and he thought that Yosef had died. And the Chazal say that Yaakov didn't receive Nevuah for all those years. So the idea is that if a person's in an emotional state that's and they can't draw their emotions away from the outside world, they're not going to be able to think clearly. And the goal is to think on an optimal level. So I guess you can use this also in terms of your studying, because I know you guys study a lot. So in studying, maybe it's a good idea, if you're studying with another person, to just joke around before you start studying and then get involved in the studying, or B, listen to music beforehand to try to clear your mind and then get involved in the study. Because it's very difficult to just all of a sudden go from the outside world and just get engaged in studying automatically. So this is a good tool. All right? Sounds good. Okay, so we're going to go on to the next part of the pasuk, which is the Lord is my shepherd. Hashem is my shepherd. So what exactly are we saying when we reference that God is a shepherd? Before we go on, does anybody have any possibilities? Why would we reference God as a shepherd? Before we read the Rishonim, what is it about a shepherd that should bring about ideas about God? All right, so Alana Har wants to say that one idea of a roah, of a shepherd, is that he cares for his flock. Okay? Any other possibilities? We're going to come across the ideas in specific, but that's a good possibility.
Maybe that he leads, he's the leader, and we follow Hashem.
All right, good. So a roah is a leader. He leads the flock to various areas. Okay? Anybody else? All right, so now we're going to see what the Rishonim say. Maybe we'll touch on some of those ideas. So, Aliza, do you mind reading number 5? So, number 5 is Rashi on the Pasuk, on the second part of the Pasuk, Hashem Roi Lo Echsar. So, Hashem is my shepherd, and I don't lack anything. Lo Echsar. Okay, so Aliza, do you want to read Rashi?
Hashem Roi, Bamidbar Hazah, She'ani Holich Bo, Batsuach Ani Shalo Echsar Klum.
Okay, so David is saying, in the Midbar, in the desert in which I am walking, I am traversing, I am confident, shelo echsar klum, that I will not lack anything. Okay, just a little bit of background about this Tehillim. So this Tehillim was composed by David when he was escaping from Shaul. So David was on the run from Shaul. Shaul thought that David wanted to take over the kingship, and he was somewhat paranoid. And David was on the run, and David composed this Tehillim on the run. And we're going to go into more specifics, but when he says Bamidbar Hazesh Ani Holech Bo, so it's a reference to David when he was escaping from Shaul, that he was in a dry area, and he places his security Batuach Shelo Echsar Klum. Fine, it's very nice that David places his security in God, but why is it referencing God as a shepherd? Why do we have to know that God is a shepherd? Why doesn't it just say in the pasuk that I place my security in God? So what is it about? Maybe we can derive an idea about the nature of the security of sheep in the shepherd. So what's the idea of a sheep having security in the shepherd? So the idea is that a sheep is not a thinking being, correct? But the idea is that you train the sheep, and then eventually the roah trains the sheep, and the sheep has this instinctive trust of the roah. So the roah doesn't have to do much at a certain point, but the sheep, because of their experiences with the roah, with the shepherd, and because they've been trained, the security becomes instinctive. It becomes part of their very nature. So perhaps the idea that Rashi is pointing out is that David is emphasizing the idea that his security in God is similar to that of a sheep and a shepherd, in the sense that his security in God was innate. It was instinctive in David. And at a certain point after learning, and at a certain point of perfection, your security, your bitachon, your security that you place in God becomes innate, similar to a sheep and a shepherd. Just like a sheep is unaware and is not a thinking being, so too, at a certain point, after experiencing various good and various ideas, the security in God becomes part of your very nature. But another point is that a sheep doesn't know the grand plan. So a sheep is in one particular situation, but because a sheep is not a thinking being, he may not understand the grand plan, but the sheep knows, or he trusts the shepherd, because the shepherd has done things for the sheep that is in the best interest of the sheep in general. So the idea is also that sometimes we have to place our security in God. I believe the idea that Rashi's pointing out is sometimes you have to place our security in God without knowing the general plan. But in the specific situation you're in, you may not know, you may not understand why God placed you in that situation, but you have to place your security in the fact that God is out for your best interest. So the idea over here by David is that he was able to place his whole security in God. He was batuach bo, that he wouldn't lack anything, because he recognized that God was out for the good of David. So I think that's the main idea. The main idea of comparing, at least according to Rashi, the main idea of comparing the God to our shepherd is an idea of comparing or at least emphasizing how our trust or har bitachon should be in God. And when you reach a high level, like the level of David, it becomes innate. And even though you can't understand the particular situation or why it's the good for you, you trust in God because you know that he wants the good for you. Just like the shepherd wants the good for his flock. Okay, but we're going to take that idea a little bit further. There's a Gemara that quotes this pasuk, and they tie shepherding to a different idea, a little bit of a different idea. So, Racheli, do you mind reading?
Sure.
So, we're going to do the Gemara. The Gemara is number 6. It's Psachim Daf Kuf Yod Ches Amud Aleph.
Tanu Rabbanan, Rabbi Igomer Alav Ad Halal, Omer Halal Hagadol, Tiber Rabbi Tarfon.
Okay.
Hashem Roi Lo Achzar.
Okay, so what is this referencing? What is this Gemara referencing? What's Revi Gomer Levis HaHalel? When do we say Halel on a fourth? When do we say Halel sitting down? Seder, right? Mm-hmm. So what's the fourth? It's the fourth kos. Okay. So by the fourth kos, it says we're Gomer Levis HaHalel. We finish the Halel, and then we say Halel HaGadol. So that's what Rabbi Tarfon says. But some say, instead of saying Halel HaGadol, you should say this Tehillim, Hashem Roi Lo Echzar. So what does this have to do with the Seder? Why would we say this Tehillim? So if we read the Rashbam in number 7, so Miriam, you want to read the Rashbam?
Sure. Hashem Roi, Al Shem Hamazon Shachlu Tzirich Lamar.
Okay, so we say Hashem Roi, Hashem is our shepherd, as a reference to the mazon, to the food that we ate at the Seder. So somehow the idea of shepherding is tied to our sustenance, to our food. So maybe you'll say that this is one isolated example where shepherding is tied to our mazonos, is tied to our food. But I dare to say that it's not the case, because if you look further on in Psachim, in number 8, just it's in the same Gemara, but it's a couple lines down, there's another reference to the idea of shepherding in reference to sustaining us. So Alana, you want to read number 8?
Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kashin mizonotav shal adam yoter min hageula, te'ilu vegeula, k'tiv hamalach hagol oti mikora, malach be'alma, be'ilu b'mizono, k'tiv ha'elokim hara'a oti.
Okay, so it says, Amar of Yochanan, so he says, Kashin mizonotav shal adam yoter min hageula. So what does that mean? It means that mizonos, the person's sustenance, is harder for a person, is more difficult for a person than geula, than redemption. Why? Because by redemption it says hamalach hagol osi mikol ra. Who's this a reference to? Who said hamalach hagol osi? This is Yaakov. So Yaakov was saying this to Ephraim and Menashe. So it says the malach who redeemed me from all evil. So malach ba'alma. So what does that mean? It means that he's referencing the malach. He's not referencing God. He says hamalach hagol osi. Ve'ilu b'mizonos. But when it's referencing the idea of food, of sustaining himself, which is a reference to Yaakov, he says, Ha'elokim ha'roe osi. So he says, the God who was my shepherd, he shepherded me, ha'roe osi. So what do we see from here? So what's the point of the Gemara? The point of the Gemara is that Yaakov refers to God as Ha'elokim when he's referring to being sustained by God, but he refers to God as a malach, or he refers to a malach when he's being redeemed. So apparently you see that sustenance is harder, and it's harder on the person, and the person recognizes that they need a more direct hashgacha intervention, but by geula, they don't need as much of a direct intervention. So the question is, why not? What's the difference? Right? And the other question is, this is the second point where we see that a shepherd, the idea of a roe, is tied to mizonos, because we saw in the last Gemara that the Gemara offers a possibility that a person should say Hashem should say this Tehillim, Mizmor David, Hashem Roi Lo Echzar, and the Rashbam says in reference to the mazon that we ate. And here too, the Gemara is saying Kashin Mizonosav Shal Adam, and the pasuk that the referencing is Ha'elokim Haroe Osi, God who shepherded me. So there's some connection between shepherding and mizonos and sustaining us. So the question is, what's that connection? Why is God as a shepherd referencing, or why is that a reference to our mizonos in specific? And then once we understand that, maybe we can understand why is it more difficult for a person vis-a-vis mizonos as opposed to redemption? What does that even mean? What does the Gemara mean but there? So if you look, I actually just brought down the psukim, so let's just read it inside. Number 9 is Hamalach Hagol Osi Mikol Ra. So it's Yaakov saying, the Malach, the angel who redeemed me from all evil, Yivarech Es HaNe'arim. So that's a reference to Ephraim and Menashe, that he should bless the Ne'arim, the young lads. V'yikra b'hem shemi, v'shem avosai Avraham v'yitzchak, v'yidgul aro v'kerv ha'aretz. Okay, so my name shall be placed upon them, and the name of the avosai, my forefathers, Avraham and Yitzchak, and they should prosper, and they should grow, and miss the land. And the next pasuk is number 10. V'yivarech es Yosef, Vayomer Halokim Hasher Hisalchu Avosai Lefanov Avraham Yitzchak Halokim Haroe Osim Odiara Yomazeh. So it says that Yaakov blessed Yosef, and he said, the God that has shown the path for my forefathers, Avraham and Yitzchak, the God who has been my shepherd, which is a reference to his mizonos from my inception, Meodi Ara Yomazeh, until this day. So what's the idea? What is the idea of, why does a shepherd, let me ask you guys a question, why does a shepherd feed the flock? Why does a shepherd feed the flock?
Keep them alive.
Keep them alive? Okay. What happens when you feed the flock? What happens? Go ahead.
Well, that's when the sheep respond to you.
Okay, they respond to you. You're in a psychological realm. You're all about reinforcements, positive and negative reinforcements. Okay. But just factually, why do you... So it seems like the shepherd, he feeds the sheep to get them fatter, right? There's an idea, the fat sheep are better. They're better sheep. But what is it, when you feed the when the shepherd feeds the sheep, doesn't it reflect on the shepherd also, that he's a good shepherd? Like, for example, throughout Torah, you see that all the great leaders were shepherds. Moshe Rabbeinu was a shepherd, Avram was a shepherd, Yitzchak was a shepherd, a lot of shepherds. And a lot of times, shepherds in the Torah were not the owners of the animal. Sometimes they were, but sometimes they had to answer to the owners. So when you're a shepherd and your sheep are fat and your flock are fat, it reflects that you're doing a good job as a shepherd, and it reflects on you. So the idea of mizonos, the idea of sustaining the sheep, isn't just for the sake of the sheep, but it's also because it reflects upon the job of the shepherd. So maybe the idea of the shepherd, the tie-in between the shepherd and the mizonos, is that it's true that God provides us with our sustenance, because he created the world and he allows us to eat food and to feel satiated by food. But we have to recognize when we reference or when we thank God for doing that, that part of giving us food is that it's a reflection on him. Why? Because Klal Yisrael, in general, they reflect on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the nations of the world. So even when he sustains us, part of the sustenance or part of sustaining us is also because of it's a reflection, because we reflect on him. So if people, if the outside world, if the other nations see that we've been fattened, so to speak, that we're eating well and that we're being sustained, it's also a reflection on the shepherd. It doesn't mean that if we're not, that God is lacking, because oftentimes Klal Yisrael deserves to be punished, nor does it mean that God needs us, but all it means is that our role is to reflect God to other nations, and God sustains us so that we reflect his sustenance of us to other nations as well. So the idea of a shepherd tied into sustenance is that we shouldn't just look at sustenance for our sake, but we should recognize that it's also for the sake of reflecting God as our shepherd. And you see the idea of a shepherd, I think Alana said this, that a shepherd cares about his flock. So you see this idea also by counting Klal Yisrael. So very often in the Torah, Klal Yisrael is counted. And Chazal, they compare God or the counting of Klal Yisrael to the counting of a flock. Why? Because the shepherd counts the sheep because he has a certain responsibility to the sheep, and the sheep reflect on him. Because if the shepherd loses sheep, then he has to go to the owner of the sheep and he has to say, oh, I did a good job. He has to defend himself. But a good shepherd doesn't lose sheep. So therefore, the idea of counting sheep demonstrates a certain responsibility of the shepherd to the sheep, because the sheep reflect on the shepherd, on he who's shepherding them. Okay? So now just back to the Gemara. Just to explain the Gemara, and then we're going to move on to the next pasuk. So the Gemara says that Kashin Mizonosov Shel Adam Yoser Minagula. So the mizonos of a person are harder for a person than geula. So what's the difference between, what is it referring to when it says geula by Yaakov? So Yaakov was in many, many hard situations. Give me a situation that Yaakov had to face that he had to get out of that was dangerous. Esav, Lavan. So Yaakov had a lot of travails in his life, and he needed redemption. He needed to be saved from those situations. But we see, for example, by Esav, what did Yaakov do by Esav? What did he do? Vayishlach, right? In the beginning of Vayishlach, he sends out gifts to Esav, right? Or by Lavan. By Lavan, he escapes. But you see, whenever a person requires geula, so a person can use their knowledge of psychology and their chachma to help them get out of geula, to help them get out of the situation. So Yaakov used his chachma, he used his wisdom to try to play on the psychology of Esav and show Esav, listen, we're not out for the same thing. Or by Lavan, he used his knowledge of psychology of Lavan in order to escape properly. And so the idea is that by geula, a person has more control of geula, of their own redemption. Why? Because they can use their own chachma, their own wisdom, in order to be saved from a situation. On the other hand, you do need some help. So the idea is by a malach that Yaakov, he recognized that he used some of his chachma to get out of these situations, but he also needed some divine intervention. So the idea of referencing a malach is that you don't need it directly. You work with the divine intervention to accomplish defeat of geula. But the idea by Mizonosov is that no matter how much chachma a person has, if the land isn't producing crops, if there's no animals around, there's nothing you can do. So the idea is that by geula, a person can use their chachma, and the person can use their wisdom to take them out of a situation. But by mizonos, by a person's food and sustenance, it's completely out of a person's control. Yes, a person can be a chacham to the best of their ability in terms of plowing, but ultimately, if there's no rain, the land is dry, it's out of your control completely. You can't use your knowledge of psychology of man. You can't use your knowledge of philosophy. No, everything's out of your control. So the idea of being more difficult on a man is the idea that we recognize that mizonos require more direct intervention on the part of God. Whereas geula, man can use some of his knowledge and some of his intellect to get out of the situation, but he still recognizes that he needs some divine intervention. So maybe that's the difference between a malach and a lokim. By geula, we reference the malach because that's not direct intervention. By mizonos, we recognize that we need direct intervention because nothing that we can do, no matter how smart you are, how much wisdom you have, no matter what, if you're in a situation where the land's not producing anything, so you can't do anything about it. You have no control over it. So that's, I think, the difference between mizonos and geula.
Doesn't geula, though, mean the geula? I
think it's a good question, but if you look at the Mefarshim over there, they're all referencing the idea of Yaakov getting out of... Sorry, the question was, geula in general is not like a reference to a personal geula, but it's usually like redeeming Klal Yisrael, for example, like from its rhyme. But in this pasuk, it's a good question, but all I could say is that in this pasuk, I'm very confident that it's referencing the situations that Yaakov was in, based on what the Rishonim say on this pasuk. But it's a good question. Okay, so now I think we explained the idea of the Lord is my shepherd. So we said, Hashem is my shepherd. So we said the basic idea is that by mizonos, we have to recognize that it's not just for our sake, but it's also because we reflect on him, just like a shepherd's flock reflects on the shepherd. And the other idea is in terms of the sheep. The nature of the sheep's trust in the shepherd isn't something that's thought about, but it's really something that's innate and instinctive in the sheep because of the experience that the sheep has had with the Roah. He trusts the Roah. Okay, fine. So we're going to go on to the next pasuk, the second pasuk in this Tehillim. I don't know who we're up to in terms of the reading. Miriam, you want to read? Number 11.
Benoot desha, Yerivitzeni,
All right, translation. This one's not an easy one. Okay, so binos desha, it means in grassy pastures, yarbitzeni, he causes us to lie down. Alme menuchos yinahaleni, he leads me to still waters. Okay, so we're going on with the theme of shepherding. So the idea is that Hashem, he leads us to grassy pastures, and he leads us to still waters. Okay, what does this mean? What is this talking about? Obviously, main question. why are we talking about still waters and grassy pastures? So I think, obviously, the Rishonim are troubled by the same thing that, that we're troubled by. So we're going to read Rashi. Alana, do you mind reading?
Sure.
So it's number 12 on the source sheets.
Benoveh
Deshe'en.
Benoveh Deshe'en, lefi shehitchil lidmot mizonotav, lemar'eh behima, shamar, Hashem roi, nofel al halashon, shal Hashem roi, na'ot deshe.
Okay, so stop. So what's the idea? Benoveh Deshe'en, it's a grassy pasture. Why? Because it's comparing the sustenance of Klal Yisrael, or of David, actually it's David in this situation, to that of a shepherd and the behemoth, which we already explained. Sha'amar Hashem roi nofel lashon shal Hashem roi na'us desha. So it's talking about Hashem providing us with sustenance. So the reason why it's referencing grassy pastures, this pshat, is that sheep eat grass. So it's a reference to the fact that God provided David with sustenance. But we're going to find out what the specifics are the next part of Rashi. So go on.
Mizmor ze amar David biyar charet.
Charis. That was a name. Okay, so this Mizmor David said in something called the Forest of Charis. Okay, go on.
Mama nikra shmo ya'ar charet, shaya minugav kecharis vehertivo hakadosh baruch hu mitu shel ha'olam haba.
Okay, so why was it called Charis? Ya'ar Charis. So it was dry like a piece of earthenware. Charis is earthenware, like pottery. Vihirtivo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem moistened this forest, mituv shel ha'olam haba, from the good of the next world. What is this talking about? But just factually, what happened? So David was on the run, and he's on the run from Shaul, and he asks the king of Moab, to take care of his parents and his family, and he goes to the Navi, whose name was God at the time. The Navi's name was God, and he asks God, where should I go? Should I stay here? So God sends him to this forest, Yar Charis. So if you look at number 13, I'm going to read inside, it says, Vayomer God Hanavi al David. So God Hanavi said to David, Lo seishev bametsuda, don't stay in this fortress. Lech uvasalucha eretz Yehuda, go to the land of Yehuda. Vayelech David vayavo Yar Charis. So David, he followed the advice of the Navi of God, and he went to this place called Yar Charis, which was in the land of Yehuda. And the Medrash tells us that Yar Charis was called Charis because it was a very dry land. And what happened? God did this incredible nace before David, and he took this dry land, which was like as dry as pottery, and he made it into this grassy, beautiful pasture. And it says, Mitov shel ha'olam haba. It's from the good of olam haba. So what is this? What does that mean, Mitov shel ha'olam haba? What does it mean that he made it into a grassy pasture from the good of olam haba? What does olam haba have to do with anything here? Right? So if we look at the Radak, he actually has the same shot as Rashi, but he gives us a little bit more information to understand this. So Lisa, do you mind reading number 14, just the first part?
Benavos desha yarbitzini.
Medaber?
Medaber b'zavid, b'sha'a shehaya boreach mipnei sha'ol, ma'katzov sha'an, v'yilech zavid v'yabo ya'ar charas. V'lama nikrashmo ya'ar charas, shehaya menugav k'charas hazos.
Okay, so the Radak says, why was it called Yar Charis? He says it was dry like a shriveled lung. Charis means lung. So Rashi says it was dry like pottery, and the Radak says it was dried like a shriveled lung. Okay, go on. Tisba nafshi. So it says that God, he moistened the land, and he made it fertile, and he made it green, mituva, from the tov, from the good of olam haba. Like it says in the pasuk, kmo chelev v'dashen tisba nafshi. So the whole pasuk, let me just tell you the whole pasuk. The whole pasuk is, kmo chelev v'dashen tisba nafshi, like fat, various types of fats, my soul is satiated, v'sifse rananos yohalopi, when my mouth utters praises with joyous language. So it means that just like fats and fats satisfy my soul, they satisfy my soul in the same way when I utter praises. Okay, so what is this? So what does that have to do with Olam Haba? And what is the pasuk? How does the pasuk help us or bring us an idea here? So does anybody? What is Olam Haba? Is it a physical place or a non-physical place? It's a non-physical place, right? But is Olam Haba defined as a pleasurable place or not a pleasurable place?
Pleasurable,
right. So Olam Haba is a good place. It's a pleasurable place. But the pleasure of Olam Haba, it's not attached to the physical because it's not physical, but there's a pleasure attached to the soul, right? So has anybody ever heard an idea, just like a beautiful idea, where they just felt like a certain pleasure in hearing the idea? Yes, okay. So maybe the idea that David's expressing in the Pasuk that the Radak quotes is Kemo chele v'dashin tizba nafshi v'sifse renanos yahalol pi, is David is saying, just the pshat of the Pasuk, is that he achieved a certain satiation of the soul just through expressing the ideas that he perceived. So have you ever perceived an idea and you just had to write it down in a certain way, or you felt like you needed to enunciate it in a certain way? So the idea is that David, when he saw there are certain times when David saw or perceived an idea that was so deep and so meaningful to him that it provided him with a satiation of the soul. And he compares it to the satiation that a person gets from fats, from eating fats. So there's a certain pleasure and a certain fullness of the soul when a soul thirsts for knowledge, and when you perceive knowledge, and to be able to enunciate it and to put it down in words and in thoughts, and in song, it provides a certain pleasure of the soul. So maybe the idea, so can we take that idea and maybe explain Rashi and the Medrash? So maybe the idea, perhaps the idea to explain Rashi, is that David was in this yar, he was in this forest, and God did this great nes, and he made the land dry, and he took the land that was dry, and he made it into this green pasture. So David witnessed this, and he was overcome with a certain pleasure of the soul, and he composed this tehillim. He composed the idea of Binos Desha Yarbitzini. So what do we see? We see that, what does it mean, Mituvo Shel Olam Haba? So apparently the pleasure and the satisfaction of the soul that David received when he composed this tehillim out of seeing this nes was so significant that it provided such a pleasure of the soul that it was equivalent in some sense to the pleasure that a soul receives in Olam Haba. So maybe that's the idea that the Medrash is highlighting. It's focusing on the concept that there's sometimes something that you can witness and you can see that's so powerful to you that you can feel such a pleasurable experience that it's similar to the experience of Olam Haba. So maybe that's why it says Mituvo Shel Olam Haba. It's a reference to the pleasure of the soul that David received in this situation. What is it about this? This is just a speculative idea, just one point. But what is it about this nes that makes it so unique? What does it remind you of? The fact that God's taking the earth, a hard, dry earth, and he's making it fertile. What does it remind you of? Tchias and Mesim, okay. What about more simple? Maisa Bracious. So you see about Maisa Bracious that it says Ve'ed Yalim and Arts Vishkas Kolpane Arts, that there was a cloud that moistened the earth, and then everything sprouted from the earth. So maybe David... This is a speculative idea. The other idea was more definitive, but I would say that maybe David perceived some type of insight into God as a Bore, God as a creator of the world, through this nes. And because God perceived this depth of knowledge, because he saw how God did this nes, and it reminded him, or it taught him an idea about how God created the world, maybe that's why the idea was so powerful to him. And he experienced this pleasure of the soul that you can't equate. You can only equate it to the pleasure of Olam Haba. So I just want to throw that out there as a possibility. But there's no real Mefarshim on this Medrash. I looked up this Medrash inside, and there's no Mefarshim, but maybe it's because of the nature of the Nes, that the Nes was similar and taught David an idea in Maisa Bracious and how God created the world, that it was so powerful and so meaningful to him. All right. Anybody have any questions?
How did that go back to the Pasuk?
So the Pasuk of Binos Desha is because David witnessed the nes of taking this dry land and making it all green. So that's why he's referencing grassy pastures. So just factually, the grassy pastures is a reference to the nes. But the nes, apparently, the idea of Mituva Shel Olam Haba is that the nes was very powerful and it had a very powerful effect on the pleasure of the soul of David. And it's, like I said, it's equivalent to the pleasure of the soul in Olam Haba.
What do Yina Aleni mean?
Yina Aleni means to lead me. We're going to get to that. That's the next part of the Pasuk, and then we're going to... So we're just going to...
But Yarbitzini means it made me lie down.
Yeah, lie down. We're going to explain the pshat of the Pasuk. So what's the pshat of the Pasuk? Here's a more... That was a medrash, and that was a more, I guess, a deeper idea, and a more esoteric idea. But what's the pshat of the Pasuk? So the pshat is... the Radak has a nice pshat in Beis, in 14. I'm going to start with three lines down. It says Va'aroeh Hatov. I don't know if you guys can see it. It's number 14. If you see Pasuk Beis in the Radak, It's about three lines down. It starts with V'haroeh HaTov. The first part's just on the grammar. Okay, so he says V'haroeh HaTov, a good shepherd, Noeg Es Tzono, so he leads his tzon, which is something that I think Aliza mentioned. So a roeh is a leader. V'roeh Osan B'makom Desha, so he brings them to a place where there's a lot of green pasture so that they can feed on it. V'sham Yate Ohalo, and there he sets up his tent. V'riyaso Baboker, and then after he goes to sleep in the morning, the sheep go out to graze in this grassy pasture. Uventos Hayom Uve'esat Tzaraim, as the day goes by, when it's the middle of the day, Yarbitzun Betzel Olo, they lie down in the shade of his tent. Kemosha Kasuv, like it says in Shir Hashirim, Echa Tzira Echa Tarbit Batzaraim, how could I let them graze? How could I let them lie down in the heat of the sun in the middle of the day? Uksirot El Hashkoson, when he wants to give them drink, Yinahalein Almnei Menuchos, he leads them to still waters. Why is it still waters? Klomar Mayim Sheyelchu La'at, meaning to say, water that goes very slowly. It travels slowly. V'lo Nachal Shotev, it's not a Nachal that's very has rapids in it. Pen Yistifu Osan Amayim V'voan Lishtos, because maybe the water will drag them away when they go to drink. So the pshat is that he's saying that the pasuk is referencing the various roles of the shepherd to the sheep. He brings the shepherd to a grassy pasture. He protects them from the sun. And he brings them to Mei Menuchos. Why Mei Menuchos? So that they don't get drawn into the water. Because fast water and rapids, if you start drinking from the rapids, you may fall in and you may get drawn in and you may end up perishing. So what is the pshat? So there are three roles that the Radak is harping on. Like I said, one is that the shepherd sustains his flock. The other is that the shepherd protects his flock. But there's another type of protection. Why is it Mei Menuchos? So a lot of times a person may come to something that may seem safe, but it's dangerous for them. So the idea is that there's different types of protection. So the idea is that one protection is protection from the present state of harm, which is a protection from the sun. But the other type of protection that God or the shepherd affords his flock is that he doesn't let them get drawn into something that's dangerous. So maybe the idea tied back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our shepherd is that God, he provides us with sustenance. He protects us from our present dangers. He's a mugane. And not only that, but he protects us from getting engaged and involved in something that may become dangerous. So he doesn't let us be involved in the Mei Shotef, the swirling waters. Why? Because when you get involved in the swirling waters, it becomes dangerous and you may fall in and you may perish. Okay, so that's, I think, is the more pshat as opposed to the medrash that we were referencing. We have two more mefarshim on the pshat, and then we're going to just review. So, Racheli, do you mind reading the Ibn Ezra?
Sure.
Okay, so the Ibn Ezra is number 15, and he takes up the... I want you to just read Almei, the second one, in the Ibn Ezra.
Okay. Hizker Hamayim, V'Tam Menuchot.
Oh, sorry, my mistake. Read the first one. The second one is the same as the Radak.
Hata'am Sheyimtza Hadesha V'Yihyesham Naveh
Karov
Shelo
Yagea.
Yeah,
good.
V'Eich Tarbeitz Hasa.
Okay, so the Ibn Ezra explains a different shot. He says, what is David giving Shevach on? So the shepherd, he takes his flock to a close-by pasture. It's a Nave Karov. Why? So that the flock doesn't go on the harem and get tired out. So a good shepherd takes his flock, Binos Deshe, he takes his flock to somewhere close, and he doesn't take him over a traverse plain. So what's the idea? The idea, I think, is such that oftentimes when a person travels, I know everybody's experienced this, even if you travel a short distance, you feel tired and you feel exhausted, right? And the idea is that even if you take a short plane ride, that may be an hour or half an hour, by the end of the plane ride, you feel exhausted. Traveling itself, the act of traveling, is a very tiring experience. So here you have David, he's traveling, he's escaping from Sheol, and he's traveling from place to place. So what's the idea? The idea is that God, he's not making him travel unnecessarily. So there's a shevach that David is giving to God on the fact that he's not tiring him out for no reason. He's taking him to the places where he needs to go for his own benefit, but he's not taking him unnecessarily to various places. Why? Because if he did, it would tire him out. And there's a certain shevach that David is expressing towards God for having that psychological sensitivity in mind. In other words, to be sensitive to the fact that travel is so psychologically fatiguing, is something that David is giving Shavachan. Okay, fine. And one more idea, and then we're just going to review, okay? So the last idea, I think, I don't know who we're up to. Miriam, do you want to read? Me Menuchos, last idea. Just the second part of the Mitzudos David.
Me Menuchos. Ki mayim hanachim hima atzlulim misha...
Masha Einkin
harod... Masha Einkin harod zvim ki igrishu mimav rofei vitzim.
Okay, good. So he's saying, why is it Me Menuchos? Because water that's traveling, it takes up dirt and refuse. So still water, it's not as dirty, but traveling water, it brings up dirt from the bottom of the river and it ends up making the water dirty. So he's referencing a different idea of Me Menuchos. So what's the main idea that the Mitzudos David is trying to say? Does anybody want to have a possibility? Why is that important? Why is that necessary? So it's saying, what's it focusing on about the water? What's the difference between dirty water and clear water? Which one tastes better? Which one would you rather have? Clear. Okay, good. We would all rather have Poland Spring than refuse-filled water. Okay? I think we're all in agreement. So maybe the idea is that, but if you had to, let's say you were starving, would you drink the refuse-filled water? You would. Okay, good.
So that he's not just giving them what they need.
Good.
Just like the minimum.
Good.
Minimum, but even,
okay, yeah. So Ilana is saying that what's the idea? The idea is that God's not just giving them their essential sustenance, but he cares about the quality of what he's providing for them. What's a good example in the Torah of that? Where do we see in the Torah that God provides for man sustenance and he cares about the taste and the mun. Okay, good. So the mun is a perfect example. Why? All God had to do was give Klal Yisrael the mun. It was only his responsibility to sustain. It's not his responsibility, but he was the only idea or the main idea of the mun was to sustain Klal Yisrael. But the Torah tells us that the mun tasted like a donut. Basically, it says that it tasted ketam l'shad hashamen, like it was roasted. It was fried in fat, and it was very sweet. It was like honey. So the idea is that not only we have to give shevach on the fact that God sustains us, and David is giving shevach on that, but he doesn't just sustain us, he sustains us with that which is pleasurable to us, that which is the quality of that which he gives us to sustain us is also taken into account by HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he sustains us. And you see that over here by the Me Menuchos, by the still water, and you also see this by the Mon. Okay? Alright, so we did two psukim tonight in the Mizmor, and we focused on various ideas in the Mizmor, so I'm just going to review some of the ideas. The first idea is that I'm going to have to give a really good joke next time before I give share, or I'm going to have to sing before I give share to entertain everybody. But the main idea is that before a person gets engaged in knowledge, it's important to take the emotions out or away from those areas that distress them. So music or a joke is a good way to ease the tension and take those emotions away from that which is on a person's mind and draw them towards the right area. And that's the idea of a simcha shel mitzvah and using the music and the joke to that benefit or to that effect. Okay? Yes?
Did you explain why sometimes it was before he
died? I did not. Okay. The idea is that the music... So Aliza's asking the original question that we asked, which was, what's the difference between Mizmor LeDavid and LeDavid Mizmor? So based on our idea, we're saying that the music is a means of putting a person in that state where their emotions are taken away from that which is distressing them and being able to redirect them towards the good. But sometimes a person needs an external stimulus like music or a joke, but other times an idea alone can do that. So for example, if a person perceives like a beautiful idea in nature, so he doesn't need music to take his emotions away from that which is distressing him. The idea itself oftentimes can take the person's emotions away from the areas that are distressing him by itself. So maybe the idea is that there are certain situations where David needs an external stimulus, just like every other Navi, in order to subdue his emotions, take his emotions out of other areas. But other times, he perceives an idea, and the idea alone is enough to place him in that state of mind. So the idea is that it's not necessary to have music or have a joke, but it is beneficial in certain situations. But if you can achieve that state without the music, like David did in certain situations, that's why it says a David Mizmor, then that's the same. It has the same effect. Sometimes an idea alone can have the same effect as music. Okay? So we reviewed that idea. Thank you for asking that question, Aliza. The second idea we talked about was God as a shepherd, and we said there's two ideas. One idea of shepherd is in terms of our relationship to the shepherd, that we should be like sheep in the sense that our trust should be instinctual and innate. And the other idea is that a shepherd, he provides for his flock because the flock reflects on the job of the shepherd. So by mizonos also, we should recognize that the mizonos that he provides us is not just for us, but it's also a reflection on him, like fattening up the sheep. And then we talked about the idea of tuvo shalom haba, that there is a pleasure of the soul that's equivalent or that can be compared to a pleasure of the body, but it's in a different framework. And that's why we said that David composed the Tehillim, because he perceived an idea that was so powerful, and the composition of the Tehillim provided him with the Sviyas Nefesh, the satisfaction of the soul, that was similar to the satisfaction of the soul in Olam Haba. And the last idea, or one more idea we said, was that the Pshat of the Psukim are referencing the role of the shepherd in various, and the role of the shepherd is to protect the sheep, and it's to protect them in different ways. And also, the role of the shepherd is to provide us with sustenance, a certain quality of sustenance, and also to take into account, like by David, the psychological fatigue of traveling. Okay? So, we took on the two Psukim tonight. Hopefully, we'll finish the Tehillim next week, and then we'll do a different, then maybe we'll do another type of share. Does anybody have any questions tonight? No? Okay. So, but I just wanted to ask one thing. Hold on.